Let us just bow together in a word of prayer. Let us ask for the Lord's presence with us in this meeting this evening. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for drawing us aside from the cares of the day to come and to sit at Thy feet. And as we come this evening, we say, even like the psalmist, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And Lord, we lift our eyes beyond the hills, beyond man, and we lift our eyes up unto Thee this evening. We recognize that Thou art the great, omnipotent God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And we rejoice tonight that nothing is beyond Thy power. We thank Thee that Thou art able to take the sinner, broken, defiled by sin, and that Thou art able to make him anew. And we rejoice that more than that Thou art able to bring him to glory. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the words that we have been singing. We have been reminded of Thy wondrous love. We thank Thee, O God, for that love that sought us and that drew us to Calvary's cross. And Lord, we pray this evening, there are those in our gathering who are yet outside of Thee, that tonight that Thou wouldst touch their eyes and that Thou wouldst open their understanding, that they might see that wondrous love, and that this night that they might have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. And so, Lord, we commit this gathering to Thee this evening. We need Thy help. We do pray that You would bless in every part. We remember Stephen as he will minister to us in song. We pray that Thou wouldst bless him and take the words and write them upon our hearts. Remember Thy servant as he would open up the word of God and also sing to us this evening. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast been by his side and given him messages and power. And we rejoice that we can say that our hearts in nights gone by have been warmed and drawn unto Thee. So, Lord, bless him tonight. And we ask that this night that Thou wouldst come and visit this house in saving power. So, Lord, come among us tonight and do us good, for we pray in Thy name and for Thy glory. Amen. Amen. Very glad to welcome along to our service tonight our brother, Mr. Stephen Anderson. Stephen's from our Six Mile Cross congregation, and we thank him for coming along to sing tonight. Also welcome his mum and dad. I better welcome them because I'm preaching in Six Mile Cross on Sunday, and if I don't welcome, I'm not getting no dinner after the meeting, so I welcome them along to the service as well. I'm going to ask Stephen to come and to sing to us.
Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. You can be faithful.
I thank Stephen for those messages in song, and I know the Lord will bless those words to each of our hearts. There's no greater statement than to be able to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It gives you courage in life, and it gives you peace in death. And it is our prayer that you might be able to say that, that it is well with your soul. We do bid each of you a very warm welcome. We're glad to see you here this Thursday evening. If you're here for the first time, can I give you a double welcome and trust you'll come back and join with us again tomorrow evening. Could I also say a warm word of welcome to Dr. and Mrs. Johnson? We're glad to have them with us here tonight in the service as well. Please do remember the final meeting of this week, Friday night, tomorrow night at 8 p.m., and the Walker sisters from our own congregation will be ministering in song. And of course, the preacher and also the soloist tomorrow night will be Dr. William McRae. And we trust you'll come back and that you'll join with us. If you can come early, there's a season of prayer in the back room at 7:30 p.m. Also remember our services on the Lord's Day, Sunday morning, 11:30 a.m. The speaker will be Mr. Gregory Gibson. Our brother was here just a few weeks ago to testify, to tell of how God came and saved him, brought up here in Lurgan in a Roman Catholic home. But God reached his hand down and saved him. Not only saved him, has brought him in to train for the work of the ministry. And in the will of God, I will be here at 7 p.m. To bring God's precious word. And could I say, if you're watching in tonight online, we also bid you a very warm welcome. But could I also say that if you're local, could we encourage you even to come along to the meeting? I think the Lord is in a way where his people meet together that he's not in any other place. So we would encourage you even to come along to the service even tomorrow night. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing the hymn 219, the hymn 219. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, ye must be born again. The hymn 219, we're singing just two verses of the hymn, and we're keeping our seats while we sing. Just also mention, in leaving the meeting this evening, we'll ask those who are sitting in the middle if they just go back out through the porch, and then those on the sides, you can either go out the doors here on each side, or if you wait till those in the middle have gone out, you can also go out through the porch. It is my joy tonight to welcome back Dr. William McRae, also welcome Mrs. McRae, along to the service this evening. We have been richly blessed through our brother's ministry. Our hearts have been warmed and challenged night by night. And we're going to ask our brother to come and sing and then to bring God's word to us tonight. God bless.
Around me many are building all their homes of beauty and wealth, but what of a home and in heaven? Tell me where will you live at? life is sure. Will you move to the beautiful city and live with Christ evermore? Are you ready for the Savior's coming? Are your sins all washed in His precious blood? And are you sure, friend, of God's great salvation? Will you move to that heavenly home? Thank God I'm ready, for my home is heaven. And I'll move there when this whole life is o'er. And I'll live with Christ there eternal. Yes, live with Christ evermore. Yes, I'll be evermore. You came into this world one day, a helpless little child, to live your life, to spend a few short. But oh, how soon the day comes when you must go away. You'll leave for good, you'll not return again. At the river of Jordan, all alone, the river, you'll leave it all behind. Friends can't help or ease your pain. All earth's riches are in vain. At the river of Jordan, all alone, the years have quickly passed you by. The shadows begin to fall. You try to live your life the best you could. But what does it profit any man, even if he gain the world and in the end he loses his own soul? At the river of Jordan, you're all alone. Friends can't help or ease your pain. All its riches are in vain. At the river of Jordan, all alone. That's right, friend, you come to the river all alone. Yes, that death's river you've got to leave. Leave it all behind. Friends can't help raise your pain. All its riches are in vain. And you come to that river all alone. Yes, you come to that river. What a tragedy to be all alone.
I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Hebrews in the chapter number 9. Thank you very much indeed, as our brother has already done, but thank you for coming to the service this evening, and we look to the Lord for his blessing as we come to meditate upon his precious and his holy word. I trust, the child of God, that you've come praying that God will help us. God will give us the power we need to bring God's precious and God's holy word. It's hard to believe it's just one more meeting in the will of God, and tomorrow evening, but we ask you to come if you possibly can and share with us in that gospel evening service and pray for us that God will give us the power and help that we need in the ministry of God's precious and God's holy word. The 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to commence reading at verse number 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest and entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Keep our Bibles open. We'll stand for a wee word of prayer to change your positions. Let's stand together. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we realize the solemnity of this moment. We come to the precious time of gathering round thy precious word, and, O God, we want to hear a word from thee. We ask, O God, that by far beyond the voice of man, that we might hear thy voice speaking and calling men and women to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ, thy lovely Son. We thank thee that he once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and we thank thee that now he's appearing in the presence, thy presence in heaven for us. We thank thee that he's going to appear again the second time, for Jesus Christ, thy Son, is coming again. But God, in the light of all of this reality tonight, we ask of thee that thou will grant that men and women will consider eternal things and the issue that is most important above any other, the issue of their precious soul. And we pray that even tonight, Lord, that thou will remind them as we come to the reading of study of thy word, what should it profit a man even if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And our God, the answer is nothing. And there's nothing worth it, our God, that the world has got to offer that's worth losing your soul for. And so, O God, I pray that thou will give me the power to preach thy word and give me the anointing of the Holy Spirit and cover me in the precious blood.
and would be careful to give thee all the praise, the glory, and the honor for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. You know, in preparation for our meeting this evening, the Spirit of God drew my attention once again to the verse number 27 of the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And it says this, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. I want to speak this evening upon the two appointments that God has made for man. You notice here it says it is appointed unto men. Now that word appointed is an interesting word because it means to fix or to put away something for safekeeping or to be laid up or it is reserved. It is a meeting arranged ahead of time. Now, the Bible tells us indeed that God has made appointments for us. And the Bible is very clear who makes the appointments, who makes the arrangement, because notice what it says. It is appointed unto men. Notice the word is not by men, but it is appointed for men or unto them. And God tells us that God has two appointments for man. First of all, it says it is appointed unto men once to die. That's the first appointment. But after this, the appointment of the judgment. The Bible tells us in the book of the Acts of the Apostles that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And so we're told that God has the appointment. First of all, it is appointed unto men once to die, but then it says, but after this, the judgment. And God is reminding us here that our time on earth is limited even at its best. But listen to me carefully. That our time on earth will come to an end. But that's not the end. Be very clear about this. Your time and my time in this old world, my friend, will come to its end. But in reality, that is not the end. But after this, what comes after your little time upon this earth? And I want to speak upon that this evening. First of all, the first appointment is, it is appointed unto men once to die. Now, I know the subject of death is something that men and women find that in reality they're uncomfortable about, because it's a subject that so few want to think about, and so few certainly want to talk about the reality of death. And yet you notice, whenever you turn to the first chapter of the book of Genesis, this is God's record here, and whenever you turn to that first chapter, you'll see that there's no mention of death. It's not in it. The Bible tells us, rather, instead of death, the Bible tells us there's life in it. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 20, it says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, and the fowls that may fly above the heaven in the open firmament of heaven. Then in verse number 28, it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing. So once again, in chapter 1, no death, but life. Living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then when you turn to chapter 2, it tells us in verse number 7, and the Lord God breathed or formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils, listen to this, the breath of life. There once again, life. It's not death, it's life. God breathed into man and into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Verse number 9 of chapter 2, it says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And then he talks about the tree of life. The tree of life. It's in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so we find in the opening part of this Bible, my friend, all you have is life, it's life, it's life. Then you ask the question, well, when did death come in? How did this awful thing as death, where did it enter into this old world where God talks about life? Third chapter, or the chapter here, number 3, it tells us indeed in verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, thou shalt not surely die. Here we see death is mentioned there. But you see, God said to man, but of the tree, verse 17 of chapter 2, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's the first mention of death. And what was it for, friend? It was death as a result of disobedience, death as a result of rebellion against God's law, death as the result of sin, because that's what sin is. Sin is rebellion against God. Now, do you notice whenever the serpent came to Eve and spoke to Eve in the garden, he drew attention to the fruit of the garden and he said, you know, it's good. It's good to look at, and I can tell you, it's good to taste. And she looked at it, and then she longed for it, and she lusted after it, and then she took it, and then she gave to Adam. But the serpent said to her, listen, you know, Eve, thou shalt not surely die. Notice that. The devil only added one word. Yet made all difference. Just one word. God says, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The devil says, thou shalt not surely die. There was the devil challenging the authority of God. My dear friend, I want to tell you something. The devil sought to paint this as something that would make her wise and would make her become even as the God of her own life, the master of her own destiny. And the devil says, thou shalt not surely die. It's interesting to notice that whenever Eve spoke to the devil and quoted what God said, Eve did one of two things. She added to what God said, and she took from what God said. Read the book of Revelation, and God tells you, you're neither to add to, neither are you to take from what God said. In verse number 3 of chapter 3, it says, but of the tree, she's speaking now to the serpent, but of the tree, the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. Now, what did God say? It said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Now, God didn't say that. God didn't mention the touching of it. She put it in herself. And then she said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. She took from it. God didn't say that. God says, thou shalt surely die. There's not a doubt about it. God says, the day thou eatest thereof, here is the price of disobedience. Here's the price of rebellion. God says, the day you eat thereof, you'll die. The devil says, no. It's interesting. The devil quoted God exactly what God said. Thou shalt surely die. But he added in the middle his own word. Not. And friend, the tragedy is this, that Eve Listen to the lie of the devil and the consequences. What was it? Adam, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that day, the seed of death was sown in man. The book of Romans chapter 5, verse 12 puts it like this. By one man, sin entered into the world. That goes back to the garden. And death by sin. Because that's what God said. But then it goes on to say, so death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. You know, it's so easy to point the finger at Adam, friend, but let me tell you, sin's the brat that you don't want to own. Sin's the thing that you don't want to say, it's mine. It's not my sin, God. It's somebody else's sin. And God says it's thy sin. You stand before God, friend. You're not answer for somebody else. There's a wee man used to come to Macrofelt congregation years ago. Wee Matt. He's in glory now. But Matt wasn't unsafe. Was unsafe for many years. Used to come to the services and there faithfully every Sunday. Used to be a pub in Kern. They called it the Fox and Pheasant. And Matt used to go, and they always used to laugh at Matt because he was a wee man and would sit up there in the stool on a Saturday night and didn't know whether he was holding the bar up or the bar was holding him up. But he was there faithfully every Saturday night. And he used to say to the men, he says, you know, I'm going to McCrae's church tomorrow. He says, boys, let me tell you, do you know that you need to be saved? And he used to sit in the bar stool and he used to tell people they need to be saved. And if they weren't saved, they'd go to hell. Matt was on his way to hell himself. See, sin was somebody else's, not his. And the wages of sin was somebody else was going to pay, not him. Remember challenging Matt concerning the things of God? And I said, Matt, you know, Matt, you're not saved. Do you realize you need the Savior? And we talked together. You know what he said to me? He says, Mr. McCrae, let me tell you this. He says, not far from me where I live, he says, there's a woman. And he says, let me tell you, she makes a profession to be a Christian. And she's a Bible as big as herself. Now, he wasn't given to exaggeration, was he? But he says she had a Bible as big as herself. And he says she carries it and she goes to a prayer meeting. I want to tell you about it. She's the biggest hypocrite in the country. I said, you think, man? I said, let me ask you a question, man. When you stand before God, tell me, will God ask you about her? Or about you? Because I want to tell you, man. You see, when God asks you about your life, you not need to answer for her. And I'll tell you something else, Matt. If she is the biggest hypocrite, you leave her with God. But you don't need to go to hell because of that. And men and women try to make others the excuse. Maybe there's someone here tonight. And I want to tell you this. Whenever somebody challenges you about your need of God's salvation, you want to point the finger at somebody else. Don't forget this. There's more than three pointing back at you. Whenever you die in your sin and go to hell, friend, let me tell you this. It'll not give you comfort to know that somebody else took you there. I'll tell you why. Because the Bible tells me that hell's the place of blackness, of darkness forever. You'll not be in the company of somebody else. Yes, they'll be there. But you'll be in hell alone. As if you're alone. And so we see here what God's word tells us. Death passed upon all men. And you see from the time that Adam sinned, friend, something happened. The shadow of death from that day has been hanging over the world. Every home, every occasion, every party, every situation, death enters. You know, Adam, you say, Did Adam die physically that day? No, friend, he didn't. Let me tell you two things. Adam lived to have two sons, first of all, or three, but nevertheless, we'll come to two. Because first of all, God gave them, it was Abel, or Cain, and God gave them Abel. And one day, Cain rose up against his brother, and he killed him. And Abel died. And Adam realized that was the fruit of my sin. That's the fruit of my sin. There's many a drunkard, let me tell you, friend. And they've taken their families to the pubs with them. And their children have been taken by the booze. And they've lost everything. But remember this, Dad. You took them. You took them. There they lie in Skid Row. People walk past them and mock and sneer and laugh at them. And they say, what a fool. Somebody brought them there. I and left them there. And Adam realizes that Cain has risen up against his brother and slew his own brother, Adam's own child, the fruit of Adam's sin. But when you turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, it says these words concerning Adam, and all, verse number 5, and all the days that Adam lived was 930 years. And then it says this, and he died. There's no death in this world until Adam sinned. And I want you to remember tonight, it says in the book of Deuteronomy, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And dear friend, tonight, ere the service draws to a close, oh, that you would consider your latter end. For remember this. There is the day of your birth. There's the day of your death. But you see, the day you began to live. There's parents here tonight. You looked into the face of that little child for the very first time and you saw the beauty of life. Listen to me carefully. And that day they started to die. That very day they started on the journey through life to the grave. It's appointed unto men. There's the promise. You see, for you and for me, the appointment is according to the decree of God. It's not in our hands. Turn your Bibles to the book of Job for a moment, please. Job chapter 7, look at chapter 7 and verse number 1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? You're not here by chance, friend. This is your appointed time of life. But is there not an appointed time? Go to verse number 14 of the same chapter. chapter 14, rather. Job chapter 14. It says, verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he can't pass. Friend, you're not on the driving seat. You're not the master of your life. You're not the one that's in control. The Word of God says his days are determined, the number of his months, they're with God. It's God that hath appointed the bounds which he cannot pass. I don't care how many doctors stand by your side. There'll come that time, friend, when God will have that moment when I cannot pass it. Verse 14 of chapter 14. If a man die, shall he live again all the days of his appointed time? Will I wait till my change come? We're not here forever. Turn to chapter 30 of the same book. Chapter 30. Look at verse 23. Job says this, I know. I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed. There's the appointment. Listen, for all living. For all living. Job says, I know. Listen, I know. Here's something that I'm certain about. There's so many things in life that I'm not certain about. But he says, I know that thou wilt bring me to death. Notice the word bring me. He doesn't offer himself up. God brings you to. God brings you to. You may fight for life, friend, but I can tell you this, and that is in us to fight for life, but I can tell you. You see, when God brings you to death, you'll have to go. So will I. It's the house appointed for all living. And turn over in the book of Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes, in the chapter number 8, in the verse number 8, it says this, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of his death. There is no discharge in that war. Yes. No man. Friend, I tell you, you're not big enough to fight. When God brings you to death, I can tell you, you may struggle. You may try to say, I don't want to go. But God will bring you. God will bring you to it. Because it's the house that God has appointed. There's no man with power. In the day of his death, there is no discharge. In that war. Turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. In the verse number 14 it says this, for we must needs die. It's not that we want to. 2 Samuel chapter 14 verse 14. We must needs die. And are as water spilt upon the ground, listen, which cannot be gathered up again. When God says it's time to go, friend, you go. You go. Why? Because it is appointed unto men. This is not for some select few. There are no exceptions, there's no exemptions here. Youth means absolutely nothing. Beauty means nothing. Blood means nothing. Rank means nothing. We all must needs die. It's a promise. A That's why we ought to say, if God wills, somebody say, I'll meet you tomorrow. That is if God wills it. If God wills it. And yes, friends, let me tell you, do you know why we don't say it?
Because we were here yesterday and we're here today and we just expect to be here tomorrow. See, we're in control. And yet God says, there's the promise of death. And then there's the problem of death. In the book of Genesis, chapter 27, we find a father calls a son to his side. This is what he has to say to him in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Friend, that's true. Neither do you. I know not the day of my death. Two young men were standing in a field one day, and one was a prince and the other was a shepherd lad. One was called David and the other was called Jonathan. And David sensed within himself that Jonathan's father was wanting to kill him. And yes, he had tried in previous occasions to kill him. But David felt that death was closing in upon him. And the two lads were standing in the field together. They were bond together as friends. And David said to Jonathan this. He says, Jonathan, there's but a step between me and death. Your dad wants to kill me. What have I done against the king? I haven't done anything against him, but he wants to kill me. And you know, I feel there's just a step between me and death. Listen, friend. Shortly after that, Jonathan died. But Jonathan didn't feel there was only a step between him and death. No, no, it was David. David went on to be the king. David lived years after this. But my, he believed that there was only a step. But then tell me, friend, how long's a step? We sing the wee hymn, life at best is very brief. I had a cousin died last year, 102. She said to me, William, it's just like yesterday when I was running round as a young lassie. And yet she was 102, friend, when God called her home. Listen to me. Have you stood at the side and watched that little baby take its first step? You get it up there and its little pegs, little legs, and you stand at the side and say, Darling, come to Daddy. And you see the little one getting all excited and then takes that step. Friend, let me tell you, it's maybe only just a matter of an inch. It was a step. The young man, he steps out, but boy, he's not the little boy. He puts out the leg and he's full of life and energy and vitality. It's a long step for the young lad, or the young man. Then as the years pass, our steps are smaller again. But they're all steps.
Tell me, how long is your step to death? How long do you think it is? Oh, I'm just a lad. I remember a man in Macrofelton. He came home one night and his sons were, they were lying there exhausted after work. And he walked in and he saw them lying there just totally exhausted. And he looked at them and he thumped himself on the chest and he said, let me tell you, there you are, lads, lying there. And my, as if you'd done a hard day's work and your father, I'm twice your age. And he says, listen, I could beat you into the ground any day. And probably in a way it was true. Because many of the young people are that horizontal, they're that laid back, they're horizontal. But nevertheless, he's full of life. Next morning, he went to his work as usual. It was 11 o'clock for tea. And he said to one of his mates, he says, Jimmy, I've a bit of a pain. He says, listen, if you have a pain, get to the doctor. He says, no, I'm not bothered. He says, get to the doctor. I'll take you to the doctor. Took him to the doctor. Went into the surgery. Showed him into the waiting room in the surgery. And then his name was called. And he got up from the seat to go into the doctor and to see him. And he just walked and fell across the floor. And he's gone. Beat the chest the night before. I could beat you into the ground. Yes, friend, be honest. How long do you think your step is between you and death? You see, when that moment comes, friend, age means absolutely nothing. Strength is no protection. Science will not defeat it. Medical advancement will not cheat it. Riches will not buy it off. The day that God has appointed for your death, and I don't care how long you get, friend, it always comes to the day. I remember sitting beside my mother, and she was lying there in the bed at home. It was the 17th of March. And I went in to see her early that morning. Sitting beside her, she took a wee turn. My sister ran to get to the phone to ring the doctor. I remember sitting beside my mum and I said, Mum, is this the day? Is this the day that the Lord is calling you home? Then it was. It was that day. And it always comes to the final day, but we don't know when. I'm old. I know not the day of my death. You know what God says? Boast not thyself. I don't care what age you are tonight, young fella, older man, woman. God says, boast not thyself of next week. No, God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Friend, listen to me carefully. There is the promise of death. There's the problem of death. There's a preparation needed for death. In Isaiah chapter 38, we find Isaiah the prophet goes into the presence of the king. He said, I have a message from God for you. He said, what is that message? This is what God has got to say. King, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And other words, get ready. Get ready. Let me ask you a question. Aren't you? This is the last day on earth. If God says to you, as he said in Luke chapter 12 to the man who said, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater, and I'll say to my soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God looked over the parapet of glory and God said to that man, you're only a fool. He said, tonight, this night, you never pull one of those barns down. You never bring the grain in to fill them. You promised yourself many years. God says, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. And friend, let me tell you, that night he did. He died. Tell me, are you ready? Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth said this. They said she had more dresses in her cupboards and her wardrobes than anyone else in the world. And she said these words, all my possessions for a moment of time. I want one more time. I'd give everything for it. The comedian W.C. Fields, he died in 1946. He used to make the audiences laugh and roar with laughter with his comedy. But he had no time for God. But you know, as he was coming near the end of the journey and the possibility of facing death, he started to read the Bible. And somebody said to him, Mr. Fields, why are you now getting an interest in the Bible? You know what he said to them? Friend, I'm looking for loopholes. I'm looking for loopholes. A way out. Let me tell you, friend. There was none. And when God brings you to the appointment of death, there's no way out. On the tombstone was written these words, I expected this, but not so soon. That be you? Man would be a fool, like the man in the scriptures, to think that he's not going to die, friend. We all must needs die. But after this, after this, the judgment. Dr. Bob Jones tells the story that a young soldier in the Civil War, and one night he was sitting around the campfire. The next day was to be the awful battle. And when the young soldier appeared nervous, one of his mates said to him, what's the matter, bud? Are you afraid to die? Oh, no, says Bud. I'm not afraid to die, but it's what's beyond death that frightens me. After this, men and women, this is not the end. Yes, some of these moments, my life will end. As far as this world is concerned. But that's not the end. After this, the judgment. Time's away tonight. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Nobody too great, nobody too small. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hell forever. The day of judgment. The day of man's accountability. There'd be a prosecutor, but there's no defense. There'd be an accuser, but there'd be no advocate. There'd be the evidence, but there's no rebuttal. There's a judge, but there's no jury. There's a sentence, but there's no appeal. There's eternal punishment, but there's no parole. Forever. Forever. Tell me, are you ready? That's all that matters tonight. Don't care how much you have in the bank. I'll tell you what you're going to leave. I know exactly what you have, what you're going to leave. You're going to leave all. There'll be no money in the shroud. You leave it all behind. But you go out to meet a holy God, to stand before him. Tell me, what then? Eternity. For the saved, heaven forever. For the lost, a Christless hell. Thank God you can be saved tonight from your sin. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. There's a hiding place in Christ. May God give you grace to call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Appointed unto men once to die. But after this, a judgment. You and God. Let's pray. Heavenly Fathers, our heads are bowed tonight. Realize that everyone listening to my voice tonight, save the Savior's return, we all must needs die. It's not we want to, but we must needs. Because to everything there is a season, time to be born, a time to die. It's not in our hands, but it's appointed unto men once to die, and thou hast appointed a bounds that we can't pass. Oh God, tonight show men and women and young people that they need to be ready. Need to be saved from the awful blight and curse of sin and hell that is a reward for their sinning. Oh, turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading and steer for the harbor light. How do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? Oh God, please speak. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, friend, I beg you, don't leave this service without Jesus as your Savior. Amos cried out, prepare to meet thy God. And there's only one way, and that's come as a sinner to Jesus and receive him as your Savior. Heavenly Father, bring souls to Jesus tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.